Testing 1, 2. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Toets, toets, 1, 2. Ja, looks good. Okay. Well, praise God. Amen. How many of you know that God is good?
Amen.
Amen. And how many of you know that no matter what your situation, no matter what your circumstances, no matter how much pressure is upon your life, God is still good, and God is going to provide a way out. Amen?
Amen.
If you believe that, raise your hands and say, praise you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
There we go. And He will. Amen. And He will. All right. Bless God. Today, I actually felt in my heart that I need to do something that I haven't shared in a fairly long time. And we're busy speaking on the Holy Spirit. How many of you know the Holy Spirit is a person? You know what, we have this thing because He's called the Holy Spirit. He's like some impersonal force or something. He's not. The Holy Spirit is a person. He interacts with us. He becomes involved in our life. And He becomes involved in our church. And if the Holy Spirit is not involved in your life, then you will never know Jesus Christ. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that reveals Jesus to us. People will never understand the need for salvation. People will never understand their need for a Savior if it is not for the Holy Spirit touching their hearts and bringing them to a place that they understand. Amen?
Amen.
To a worldly person, sin is good. Because there's a lot of sin out there that makes you feel good. Alcoholism can make you feel good. Alcohol makes people feel good. Why do they drink? Because they feel better. They forget about their problems. They forget about their issues. They can escape reality. Prostitution, you know what? It's not really a good thing, but it could be good for somebody that wants to feel good about themselves. Stealing something puts money in your pocket, and then you can buy stuff for yourself. So you know what? From a worldly point of view, worldly people don't necessarily see things as a problem. But when the Holy Spirit comes into your life and He begins to work with us, the Bible says He brings conviction into our hearts. And we begin to understand. And people begin to understand that they are separated from God. The Word of God says, our sins have separated us from our God. Nobody needs to live a separate life from God. Everybody needs God. One of the reasons why we are down here is to find God. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know what? You can never have a salvation message if the Holy Spirit is not involved in the message. Because the Holy Spirit works with us. The Bible says when Jesus left, He spoke to the disciples and He said to them, go out, preach the good news to every creature. They that believe and are baptized will be saved. They that believe not will be condemned. And for those who believe in my name, they will cast out devils. They will lay their hands on sick people and they will get well. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. Amen?
Amen.
And then the Bible says right towards the end, the disciples went out and they preached the gospel. And the Lord worked with them. And He confirmed His word with signs and wonders that followed. Jesus worked with them and He confirmed His word. But who manifested the signs, the wonders, and the miracles? It was the Holy Spirit of God. Friends, today we need the Holy Spirit more than what we have needed Him ever. You know, the Bible says in the last days, people will become lovers of themselves. This world will become evil. People will become lovers of what is evil and haters of what is good, etc., etc. And you know what? If you turn on the television, if you look at the newspapers, you see that that is the season. This is the age that we are living in right now. The world is evil. The world is dark. Sin seems to abound everywhere. But then we also have another promise. In the last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Just touch the person next to you. Don't touch them in funny places. You're in the church. What are you smiling at? You already did it, didn't you? And there's a man sitting next to you. I'm worried about you, son. Donald, if I was you, I would move. I'm only joking, eh? Why are you blushing so badly? Right, so, in the last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Look at your neighbor and say, that's you. There we go. That's you, that's you, that's you, that's you. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Why is there a scripture in the Bible that encourages us for the last times, for the end of the age? Because God knows how bad things are going to get, and He says, listen, yeah, I'm not going to abandon you. I won't leave you to your own devices. I'm giving you something so precious and so powerful that will help you. In fact, I'm not giving you something, I'm giving you someone. When that someone comes into your life, something comes with it. It's called anointing. And when the anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon your life begins to change. Things start happening in a completely different way. Today I want to share with you my testimony. I haven't shared it in a very long time, and I think you can learn something from it, and you will see how the Holy Spirit worked in my life. He still works in my life all the time. But you know what? That was when God, for the first time, introduced me to the person of the Holy Spirit. I grew up in a very, let's just call it, religious household. And by saying the word religious, I'm not trying to refer to the house that I grew up in as flaky and all of that. My father has a very good relationship with God, and he always did. And he taught us the right way. I did go to Sunday school. I was involved in the church. I learned a lot of things. I grew up religious myself. And that I don't mean in the best possible way, because I didn't know God that well. I had this fear of going to hell. And because I had this fear of going to hell, I would read my Bible every single night. I would read something in the Bible because I sort of felt, at least I'm doing something. You know, if I stand before God, I can at least say, oh, but I used to read the Bible. Okay? I read the Bible a lot and I prayed every single night. I never went to sleep without praying. I would read the Bible and I would pray. I'm not saying that I understood much of what I read. I had no relationship with Jesus in that way. I did it for me, you know, so that I could maybe get to heaven one day. Because I wasn't sure of my salvation. Because I didn't know that I know that if I was to die at that point in time, I would go to heaven. So in a way, I was trying to work my way into heaven. Yeah, but Lord, you know, I did read the Bible and I did pray every night. And you know what? The Bible says your works are like filthy rags in the sight of God, and it will not get you into heaven. So anyway, that's the way I grew up. Went to Sunday school. In fact, I was a very naughty boy. I used to bunk Sunday school. Yeah. I'm not necessarily proud of it right now, but I used to many times. If I didn't feel like going, I would rock up at the place. My parents would drop me off, go around the corner, sit and talk rubbish with my friend. Shame, oh Peter, we have to pray for the poor. Yeah. Anyway, so that's the way I lived my life. One day, I was in matric. I was sitting in the church. I was sitting in an NGA church, the Dutch Reformed Church, and that day there was a visiting preacher. Now that's something that didn't sort of happen in the NGA church. The dominee is the one that preaches, that's it, that's the way it is. But this day, for some reason, and I still don't know why, there was a visiting preacher. Some of you might know him. His name is Ed Trout. He's very busy in America right now. He immigrated to America and he has a huge church there. He has a very strong prophetic anointing and he has a prophetic ministry. And Ed Trout was in our church that day. I think somebody in the church went on a camp and this guy spoke there and then they invited him to come to the church. That day I'm sitting in the church. And this guy, he shared a message. And then he said, the Lord says to me, there is a young man sitting here. Your life right now is not in a good place, and you are far from God. But the Lord says today, if you respond to this invitation, God is going to change your world around, and your call is to work for God. So I sat there and I started getting like the heebie-jeebies. You know what? I started feeling hot and cold shivers, and I felt like I was sweating, and I had heart palpitations. But I sat there. I wasn't going to move. A 10-ton bomb could not move me out of my seat. And the guy repeated the message. And again, I sat there, but I actually felt uncomfortable. You know when you start that like nervous twitching and all of that? And you know, oh, Peter, God bless his soul. He's not a very spiritual guy. But when the third time the guy said the same thing, he nudged me and he says, I think he's talking about you. I said, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. It's not me. But you see, I was afraid. Because I didn't understand what was happening there. And probably I had too much pride. Who knows what it was? Three times this guy called. Three times God touched me. And I had the confirmation in my heart that God was talking about me, but I was afraid. And I did not respond that day. And then the guy said, the Lord says, I must leave you, young man. But it is a pity that you're not responding today, because one day you will realize that your life could have gone a lot further had you responded today. And you know what? When he said that, I was like, you know? To me, I dodged a bullet. Today, I do know what he said was true. I am sorry that I did not respond that day. The Bible says, today, when you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. You see, back then, I was stupid. And I'm not saying that I'm the cleverest oak right now, but then I was really stupid because in a way, I hardened my heart and I did not respond to God when he spoke to me. But luckily, not luckily, I am blessed that God gives us second chances. And because God gives second chances, I can still stand here today and I'm still fulfilling my calling, but probably I could be a bit further now than what I am right now. And I'm sharing this with you because I want you to learn something from the mistakes that I have made in my life. When God is in the house and he is talking to you about something, or he gives an opportunity for something to happen, the best thing for you to do is put your pride in your pocket. Don't worry about what this one or that one or that one thinks of you. Respond. Because obedience brings the blessing of God. And disobedience, unfortunately, pushes you towards the curse. Okay. I left the church that day feeling all happy that I didn't have to get up in front of everybody and, you know, according to me, make a fool of myself. And, you know, the only fool was me, because I did not respond to God. I was 18 years old when that happened. Then, for a couple of years, I didn't have many spiritual experiences. I went through catechism. I'm not sure what you call it. Katechese. What is that in English? Okay, I went through catechism. I was sort of ordained in the church, and that was also the last day that I went to church. After that, I didn't go to church anymore. I was very big on the jawling scene. I was out at clubs Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night. What are you all looking at me? I rubbed shoulders with you there. Many of you, yeah, used to go to the same places as me. I used to go to Ballinapoli. I used to go to Top Club. I used to go to the Dome. We used to go to Whitehorse Inn. You know, there was all the moving places back then in the day. There's a couple of other names that I forgot. You know, half the time I was too pickled to remember anyway. It's just life, you know. For a while, I really went far from God. But you know what? God never forgot about me. And this is the wonderful thing about God. Sometimes we forget about him, but he never forgets about us. And God doesn't give up on you. And sometimes God has unique ways to open your eyes to the fact that you actually need him. I was 21 years old. I was busy studying engineering. It was very tough. Anybody that's ever gone down that road knows that it's a lot of work. It's complicated. The volume is enormous, and there's a lot of pressure on you because there's not a lot of time. And I was in my exams of my, I think it was my second year, and I was busy studying, and I got sick. I can't remember if I had the flu or what the story was, and I couldn't write three exams, which was okay because I had this doctor's letter. And when I went back and I handed it in, they told me, okay, fair enough, you're writing it all tomorrow. I thought, what? Yeah, you're writing it all tomorrow. I said, sorry, that's the way it is. You're writing it all tomorrow. And I tell you what, that night I went home, but I was panicking. I was like in a state. If you have any idea of the mountain of work, now I have to write all three during the day. And I studied and studied. Actually, you can't even study because it's just too much. You just like you scan through everything. And I was up almost the whole night. Roughly 4 o'clock in the morning. I was so tired, I couldn't keep my eyes open. I went to bed. And I'd just fallen asleep when this presence came into my room. It wasn't a godly presence. It wasn't a good presence. It was a demon. It was to be my first encounter with a demon, with an evil spirit. And I woke up because I heard something speak to me. And what this thing did was it kept repeating this phrase. It kept speaking to me in Afrikaans. Wil jy voel hoe voel dit in die hel? Wil jy voel hoe voel dit in die hel? Which translates to, would you like to feel what it's like to be in hell? And it kept repeating that, but with this like really evil voice. Evil was all around me. I was freaking out, and I actually saw the thing hovering above me. It was like a misty cloud. And I could see the outlines of the demon, but I couldn't really make out any detail. And I'm very thankful for that because it would have probably kept me awake for years. And I could feel the heat of this thing's breath as it was breathing over me. And it smelled horrible. It smelled like sulfur, like rotten eggs. And when I tried to move, I couldn't move. When I tried to scream, I couldn't scream. I tried to run away, but I couldn't. And I used to sleep with a baseball bat next to my bed because at one stage they tried to break in through my... I had a door going out in my room. And they tried to break in one night, and because I was a bit afraid, I used to sleep with a baseball bat so that if somebody comes through there, then I could whack them. And then I remembered about the baseball bat. Now I'm lying there. You know when like your arm goes to sleep, you're like, you're trying to... And I'm lying there, and I'm concentrating everything because I want to get the bat, because I want to hit this thing. And then nothing wants to work. Now I've got this thing talking to me. I've got this freaky thing going on that my brain doesn't respond. My body doesn't respond to my brain. And I'm in a total state of panic. And you know what? The only thing that I could think was, I better pray. Now, I've said to you that I used to pray every night. But I had this like rhyme that I used to pray. It wasn't really, you know, I once heard Bart Simpson pray, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, you know. Mine wasn't that elementary, but it was probably similar, you know. But that night, I want to tell you something. I prayed. I'm lying there, I'm paralyzed, but I'm speaking to God. And I'm saying, oh Lord, please, you have to help me. Please, I don't know what's going on here, but I got big dwang, and please, I need help. And slowly but surely, this thing, as I was praying, started lifting off of me, and soon it was gone. And I lay there, and I was completely freaked out, because nothing in my life had ever prepared me for what I experienced there. And then I fell asleep. So the next day I spoke to my mom about it, who spoke to my dad about it, and then that afternoon my dad called me into his study, and he said, tell me what happened to you last night. And I told him. And then I asked him a question. I said to him, Dad, what do you think it was? He said to me, no, he's not sure. He doesn't know. I think he knew, but he didn't want to freak me out. And then I asked him, I said, Dad, do you think it was a demon? He looked at me and he said, probably. It's not what I wanted to hear. It's not what I wanted to hear. And then he asked me, what did you do? I said, I prayed. He said, well, then you did the right thing, because there's nothing else that you can do. And then he said to me, and I want to just remind you that there is power in the blood of Jesus. I said, okay, cool, thanks. And I didn't think that anything was going to happen. You know what, now, okay, I had this bad experience, life goes on. Well, guess what happened that night? The same thing happened to me. And the night after that, it happened again. And the night after that, it happened again. From what I can remember, it was roughly 2 weeks. Every single night I was attacked by this demon. I also can't tell you it was always the same demon. Probably they were different ones. I don't even know, because you can't see them. You just feel their presence. And I would hear them laughing at me. They had this evil laugh, like while I'm lying there and I'm paralyzed, it's like, ha, 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 ha. They're laughing at me. It came to the point where the one night my mom and dad are sound asleep. It's about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And there opens their door, and there's their 21-year-old son standing there with his pillow and his blankets. I brought my own mattress with, and I moved back into their room. And for some weird reason, they did not find that funny. It's like, they were quite shocked. My dad says, "What are you doing?" I say, "I'm coming to sleep here." He says, "No, you can't." I say, "I don't care. I'm not sleeping in my room. It's haunted." And I think there my dad figured out that this is serious. He's going to have to make a plan. So guess what happened? The next morning, the first thing my dad does is he phones the dominie. Says to the dominie, "Listen, my son has spiritual problems and he needs help. Can he come and see you?" Dominie said, "Okay, fine." So I went to see the dominie. And I had a chat with the dominie, and the dominie asked me a bunch of questions. And then he said to me, "Okay, we're going to pray and we're going to see if you got a problem." Now, probably he's referring to a demonic thing in my life. I'm not exactly sure. But I do remember I was quite afraid when he was going to pray, because I had these visions. You know what? I saw the exorcist, you know. My head is going to start spinning around, and I'm going to levitate, and I'm going to float around. And I'm looking at this. We were in his study, and there's these wooden objects everywhere. I thought, sheesh, by the time this is over, I'm going to be dead. You know, it's like going to be throwing, bouncing off the walls. So here's what's happening. The dominie is praying for me, and I'm like, and the only thing that's going through my mind is, please don't let anything happen. Please don't. Well, anyway, God has a sense of humor, and nothing happened. The dominie gave me a clean bill of health. Now you are demon free, you're fine. I'm like, yes, thank you. And I went out and I celebrated. I got drunk as a skunk. Came back home that night, and God had mercy on me, because that night, actually, for the first time in weeks, nothing happened. Probably, yeah. Probably my breath was too foul, you know. Anyway, the thing didn't come back that night. It didn't come back the next night. For about a week, I had peace. And then after that week, it started again. But something happened that I couldn't explain. I wasn't afraid anymore. When it came back, the emotion that I felt was no longer fear, it was anger. And it's only God that could do that. Because the first times that this happened to me, I was paralyzed by fear. Now I was just paralyzed. But I had this anger in me, and I wanted to fight. And I did fight. And you know what happened is, I learned very quickly that the quicker I fight, you know, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And I want to say something to you, that is the truth. Until you don't start fighting, nothing goes away. The longer you lie, the longer you accept what the enemy brings, the longer you will be a slave to that spirit. But I would wake up and I would start fighting. And it would be like this, boom, and the thing would leave. And then something else happened. I would wake up at night, and something in me would tell me, it's coming, it's coming. It was like I had this early warning system that was with me, that would warn me. So by the time it came, I had already prayed against it, and many nights it didn't even come. It was like, it's coming, 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 and I'm praying, and I'm fighting, I'm resisting, and it's like, it just turns around, it goes away. And I didn't realize this, but all of this was part of my equipping. All of this was part of my training. All of this was part of how God prepared me for a life that was about to happen. I got a bit closer to God through this. I still didn't go to church. I read my Bible. When I had to fight this thing, I used to fight this thing. It came on and off all through that time of my life. We fast forward a couple of years. One night, my dad comes home. Actually, the next morning, the morning after, it was the Monday morning. My dad, I used to sit and have a coffee with him, and then I used to go to work. I worked for myself, and I stayed in the flat behind the house. We had a flat, a granny flat. And that morning, I sat and I had coffee with my dad, and he said to me, "Oh, you know what? We had such an interesting night at church last night." And I was like, you know, my dad was always trying to talk to me about God. So, okay, fair enough, let's talk about it. And he says to me, "No, there was this guy that came to the church, and he prophesied over me." Now, my last experience with prophecy was not so lekker. You know, and I felt that I was exposed in front of everybody. So the moment he talked about prophecy, I'm like, ooh, I don't want to be there. And he said, like, oh, yeah, no, this guy prophesied over me, and he prophesied over people, and he prayed for people, and the people fell over. I said, what do you mean they fell over? No, he doesn't know. The people fell over. I said, but how does that work? Oh, no, he doesn't know. But obviously something good happened to them because everybody was all happy. And he says to me, Abid, you must come to church. And, okay, let's now be very honest. I lied because I said to my dad, okay, fair enough. I'll come to church. But in my heart, I was like, gee, I don't want to be in the same town as this man when he comes to church again. And I forgot about it. About a month later, we are having a birthday party. And back then, I was still drinking quite a bit. But because of circumstances that day, I didn't really drink. And we had to drop somebody off in Kibler Park, which is where our church was. And as we're dropping this person off, we're not in my car, we're in a friend of mine's car. As we're dropping this person off, my cell phone rings. And I had just got a cell phone. Those were in the days when the cell phones just came out. It was like 1994 somewhere. I just received my first cell phone. My cell phone rings. I answer it. It's my father. He says, where are you? I said, oh, well, I'm in such and such place. He says, okay, good. That man is at church tonight because I placed myself within a kilometer from the church, which I would never have done if I knew why he asked me that question. You must understand. He says, well, that's fine. I'll meet you at the church tonight. Now I'm thinking, oh, man, I can't retract now because I've already placed myself in the vicinity. I've got a lifeline. I've got these serious Philistines in the car with me that don't want nothing to do with God, and I'm sure they don't want to go to church. So I say to my dad, oh, Dad, you know what? I've got these oaks in the car with me. The one's name was Vilnius, okay? Affectionately known as. And he was a Philistine. And it was his car, he's driving. I say to my dad, oh, your dad, you know, I'm here with Ovilnius, and yeah, probably these folks don't really want to go to church. We'll do it another day. My dad says, no, man, invite them with. I said, okay, fine, I'll invite them because these people don't go to church. There was four of us in the car. I say these words. I say, listen, you guys, my dad says there's something happening at church and he wants to know if we want to go. Okay. I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, oh, this can't be happening to me. I mean, really, these oaks, if you paid them 1,000 rand, they wouldn't go to church. But today, all of them want to go to church. You want to tell me the Holy Spirit's not busy? I want to tell you something. I saw that day that the Holy Spirit's busy, and he can touch anybody's heart. So here we end up going to church. Now, this is the first time in quite a few years that I walk into a church. And I felt very out of place. I felt like a fish out of water. I go there, I check this out, the people still remember me, everybody's all happy to see me. I go sit right at the back. This guy begins to preach. And then I had this really, really strange experience. While he's preaching, it's like my body begins to react to his preaching. I started getting like the chills, you know, like when your back is like all, you know, when you get this electricity running up and down your back. I keep getting this. I started feeling hot. It was like I had this voice speak to me, saying to me that I shouldn't be here and I mustn't listen to this. I actually started feeling like there was a war going on inside of me where obviously something wanted me to be there to hear the message, but something else didn't want me to be there. And there was this struggle, this inner struggle, turmoil inside of me. And then it got so, actually my seat started getting hot and it started burning me. And I'm not joking. I felt warm. I was sweating. I was dripping with sweat. I was shaking. I decided I've had enough of this. I'm leaving. Do you know what happened when I tried to leave? I was paralyzed. Nothing in my body worked. I thought, oh, this can't be happening to me. I'm freaking out. But while I'm going through all these emotions, while my brain is running at 1,000 kilometers an hour, I hear every word that this oak is speaking. You know when the Bible says that the word of God is like a double-edged sword and that it can cut into you? Every word that this oak was preaching was cutting into me. Well, what can you do? Now I'm sitting there, paralyzed, and I'm hearing, and I'm hearing, The guy gets to the end of his sermon and he says, well, if this message spoke to you and you would like God to do something for you today, then please come forward now. The moment he said that, something released me. It's like something that was on top of me, pushing me down, holding me in the church, actually released me. And I got up and I started walking forward. And as I was walking forward, that battle that was in me just intensified. It was like something was like, no, don't do this. This is not for you. This is not your life. There's the door. Get out of here. It's not too late. And you know what? I realized that day that I'm going to have to make a choice. And I'm going to have to stand by the decision that I make. All of this went through my mind as I'm taking a couple of steps towards the front of the church. And I made this decision. I just said, you know what? Today, I know that God is real, because this stuff happening to me is not normal. And this is what I want. And I kept moving forward. And then that voice disappeared. I got to the front. There was already a lot of people standing there. The guy prayed for a couple of people. And then he came and he stood in front of me. He looked in my eyes and he prophesied something over my life. Something that was quite relevant. Something that was very near to my heart. And I was like, how does this oak know this stuff? And while I'm thinking, how does he know this? It's like something came over me and like, I went down. So I'm lying on the floor. And I'm trying to make sense of everything that happened today. And I begin to feel this wave move over me like slowly. And as this wave moves over me, everything in my body is like tingling and responding. And it feels like a heaviness starts coming off me. And then the wave comes again. That night I laughed. I cried a lot. And you know what? While I was lying on that floor, I spoke to God. I spoke to God in a way that I'd never spoken to Him before. I spoke about my life. I spoke about my future. I spoke about my fears. I spoke about my hopes. I spoke about my dreams. I just spoke. Not out loud, just in my mind, I spoke to God. The guy prayed for me around about 9 o'clock. Sometime after 12, the dominie comes to my dad. He says, here's the keys. Please lock the church. I'm still on the floor. Things are still happening to me. It was close to 1 o'clock in the morning when I eventually got up. It was again like something that was on top of me slowly lifted. And I could feel the impression of this lifting. And then I knew, or I understood, that whatever was happening is finished now. I got up. We went home. Next morning I wake up and I sit in bed. And now I remember everything that happened. Again I begin to speak to God. And I say to the Lord something to this effect. I say to the Lord, Lord, I don't know what happened to me last night. And I don't know what your plans are for me. I'm not even sure why you put me on this earth. But I've been thinking, if you put me on this earth because you want to use me, if my purpose here is to serve you and to work for you, then I accept. But I have one condition. I said to the Lord, Lord, whatever was with that man that prayed for me last night, I want the same thing. If you give me what he had, then you can use me, and I will work for you, and I will commit my life to you in service. And you know what they say? Be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. When I said that, the shiver went through my body. And I didn't understand it back then. But I believe the Holy Spirit touched me. He already touched me big time the night before. But when I said that, because I spoke out loud when I was sitting on the bed, I spoke to God in a loud voice. And I believe that the Holy Spirit in some way just acknowledged He heard what I said. Anyway, I got up and I went to work. You know how the Bible says God can do anything? For God, all things are possible. Now, here's something that you have to know about me as a person. Those of you that came to my birthday party a while ago, when my father spoke about me, he made the statement that I'm actually a very quiet person. And that him and my mother, many times when they hear me preach, they battle to put the two together, because the boy that grew up in their house and the man that stands and preaches is not the same person. And that's literally what happened. You know, I used to be a fairly reserved person. I used to be a fairly quiet person. And to some extent, I still am. But something in me changed. You know, one of the worst things that you could do to me when I was younger. When we went to Sunday school, they used to have this thing where the teacher would somehow just say, okay, can you please say grace for us or pray for us or whatever. And when they used to point at me and tell me to pray, I was like, oh, you can't be serious. You know, it's like, it was a huge thing for me to pray because I didn't like to talk in front of people. My worst days at school was speech. You know, when I have to stand there in front of the class and I have to come up with a speech. You know, I'll never forget the one day my speech was like this. I pretended to be an announcer. And I started speaking, and then apparently the power went off and my mic wasn't working. So I said, sorry, I can't do this anymore. And I went and sat down. I got good marks for creativity and very bad marks for my speech. But anyway, I didn't like to talk. Suddenly, that changed. There's a word called boldness. For those of you that don't know what it is, it's something inside of you that gives you the vuma to talk to people, to approach people. I never had that before, never. Suddenly, I had it. You know, I was a businessman, and I used to see people during the day for business. Now, when I walked in there, I wasn't just there to do business. I was also sort of trying to find an angle to bring God into the conversation. Now, I never used to do things like that before. But from that time on, that was what was with me. And I used to talk to people, and for some reason, I seemed to have a lot of wisdom. When I spoke to them, I would say to them, but this and this and this, and then they would like, oh, how do you know these things? I said, I'm not sure, but I do. My offices was in a very industrial area, and the guys that worked there, they were tradesmen. They were rough and tough. In fact, the one big company there was a towing company. And you know what? With all due respect to the towing guys, they are a wonderful group of people, but they can be very rough and they can be very tough. And I used to interact with these guys all the time. And you know what I used to interact with them with? The Bible. We would sit and talk, and this one would complain about this, and that one would complain about that, and I would read this one a scripture, and I would share testimony with that one. And you know, surely, slowly but surely, the Holy Spirit worked with me and began to change these people. And a lot of them got saved. The one day, a gentleman comes walking into my office. He sits himself down. He turns the chair the wrong way around and he sits with his arms on the backrest and he just looks at me. I'm thinking, and now? What's this all about? He just looks at me. I say to him, can I help you? He says, I don't know, but I think you can. I say, okay, what's the problem? He says, I think I have demons in my house. Actually, no, he says, I think my house is haunted. I say to him, what are you talking about? He says, well, you know what? I don't know how to explain this to you, and I don't know what to make of it, but the lights go on and off by themselves. Now and then my wife speaks in this funny language. The duvet gets pulled off the bed in the middle of the night. He says, it's bad. It's very bad. Now I'm going to pause there, and I'm going to take you to something that happened in my life. You remember about this demon that used to come and oppress me at night? Well, after God touched me, and after the Holy Spirit came and filled me, you might be shocked to hear this, but it didn't go away. It got worse. Yes, it got much worse. You see, before I was a bit of a threat to the devil, now I'm a big threat to the devil. And he takes the threat very seriously. And I've said many times, and I'm going to repeat it to you, Satan doesn't shoot blanks. He fires real bullets. And when he starts coming after you, you're going to feel it. You know what? I was suddenly back to a time where every single night this thing would come, sometimes 2-3 times a night. And even me, I was like, what the freaking hell? How does this stuff work? You know, now I'm working for God. I'm trying to do things right. I'm trying to sort out my life. I'm helping people, and this is what's happening. But you see, I had to learn a lot of things along the way. So here's what happened. for a while this just happened, and I would pray and I would get upset and whatever. And then I just began to pray and I said, Lord, I need you to help me to understand how this works. Because something here is not right. And then I began to ask the question, can a Christian have a demon? You see, generally it is accepted that Christians, because the Holy Spirit lives in us, we can't have demons. Well, I want to tell you something. I know the Holy Spirit lived in me because the fruit of the Holy Spirit was everywhere in my life. But at night, this demon would have its way with me. And I asked that question. I asked it at the church that I attended, and they all told me, oh, no, you can't have demons because you're a child of God. I spoke to many people about this because I was interested in learning. And nobody told me, yes, you can. Everybody said to me, no, it's impossible. And you know what they say makes a lot of sense until you go through what I went through, then it makes no sense. Then you realize, but something is wrong. The theology doesn't make sense. And in the practice, it doesn't make sense. And I began to read the Bible. I began to study the Bible. Wherever there was something about a demon, I would try and understand. And you know, a couple of things opened up to me. Jesus never told the disciples to go to the unbelievers. In fact, in one of the scriptures, Jesus says, I'm sending you to cast out demons and I'm sending you to heal the sick, but do not go. Actually, I'm going to read it to you. I believe it's Matthew chapter 10. The book of Matthew chapter 10. He called these 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The Samaritans and the Gentiles were unbelievers. And Jesus said to them, go cast out demons. But in the same sentence, he says to them, don't go to the unbelievers. And you know what? This thing began to speak to me. If deliverance was supposed to take place not with the unbelievers, then deliverance is something that belongs to the believer, not the unbeliever. And then the reasoning that the church as a whole has about these things cannot be true. This scripture and many other scriptures began to speak to me. And you know what? There came a day when I think I understood the problem. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I believe that I have some demons in my life. And that's where the enemy has the power to do to me what he does. But I don't want this anymore. And I'm asking you, Lord, to help me to sort this out. And I even know where this demon came from. When I was 10 years old, I watched a movie one night. It was a Saturday night. And I don't know if you remember back in the 80s, we used to have on a Saturday night, there used to be a movie. I think it started at about 9 o'clock. Somewhere between 9 and 10 o'clock, there used to be the Saturday night movie. Now, my father, bless his soul, one of the problems that he has is he can never stay awake in front of the TV. If you want my dad to sleep, switch the TV on. 10 minutes later, he's gone. So my father watched TV with us every single night, but he never watched nothing. He slept. And this night was the same thing. Me and my brother are sitting there, and we're watching TV with my dad, who's sleeping. And then my brother fell asleep. That was the grace of God because he would have had the same problem I had. That night, the movie's title was The Devil's Triangle. Some of you maybe saw that movie. And in the end, Satan himself is on the boat and he's murdering people. And then right at the end, he turns into Satan. And when I saw that happen in front of me, something started happening to me. And I actually saw something jump out of the TV into me. And when it came into me, my whole body went backwards. And that night, the spirit of fear jumped into me. No, I didn't know it was a spirit of fear. I just thought I was afraid. But I'll never forget that night. My mother eventually came. Me, I sat there very quiet, like, ooh, tick, 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 tick. I didn't move because I was now afraid to go to my room by myself. My mother woke up very late at night. My brother is sleeping. My dad is sleeping and I'm sitting there. She says, why don't you go to bed? Come, I'll put you in bed. She takes me to my room. I get into the bed. The moment she switched off the light, I freaked out. I went and I switched on the light. And she saw it. She came back. She says, what are you doing? Oh, no. I give some excuse. She says, hey, it's late. Go to sleep. Again, she switches off the light. I want to lose it. I'm freaking out because there's a ho-ho somewhere. You know what? There's something in the cupboard. There's something under the bed. There's a thing hiding behind the curtain. I'm lying there and I'm paranoid with fear. So guess what I do? I wake up my brother. Come, let's play cards. Oh, no, I want to sleep. No. I've got a new card game. Okay, so now we're playing cards. You know top trumps? Where it's like, okay, how many horsepower has your car got? Okay, mine has got so much. And now we're playing cards. I keep him awake the whole night. That's Saturday night. I keep him awake the whole Sunday night. Monday, he goes to school. He sleeps right through the day. The teacher phones my mom. She says, oh, we got a problem with your son. He sleeps at school. So when we get home, my mom calls my brother. She says, okay, what's the story? Why are you sleeping? Oh, no, Rion doesn't let me sleep at night. So Rion gets a hiding. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, how worse can things get in my life, you know? And that, from then on, my mom came to make sure that the light is off. So my way of coping, I put the sheets over my head and I lie there and I'm thinking, oh, I hope nothing comes and touches me. But that's where my fear came from. It came from the television, from something that I saw on TV. Okay. I figured out that I must have a demon. I went and I sat in my office. I made a list of the things that I thought could be with me. Fear, rejection, anxiety, you know, all sorts of stuff. I wrote them on a list. I wrote a list of the people that I believed I needed to forgive. And I went through a prayer. I said, Lord, you are my Savior. The Word of God says that I can be delivered. And I'm asking you to help me, Lord, and I claim the protection of the blood of Jesus. And I'm trusting you, Lord, that today the power of God is going to manifest in my life and that your victory on the cross will come to me. I now renounce the following things, and I renounced fear, this, that, what. And I said, and I forgive all these people, and I now command this thing to leave me. And while I was praying, my body began to shake. And then something began to scream out of me. But you know what? Some of you have been through this before and you know what I'm talking about. It was a really strange sensation that something is screaming and I'm hearing the scream, but my brain is not telling me to scream. I'm not the one screaming. Something else is screaming. And whoop, the thing was gone. And you know what? The change was immediate. I felt different. I felt peace. My eyesight was better. My hearing was better. My brain felt like it had a turbo. I could think like this, boom, boom. And I always had a very good brain, but it's amazing how my thought process was impeded by this thing sitting on top of me. And I never knew I had it. I only felt the difference when it left. You know, if I give you 50 kilograms to walk around with, you'll get used to that 50 kilograms and the limitations it brings upon your life. But tomorrow, or let's say in 10 years' time, when I come and I take away the 50 kilograms, you're going to be like, wow, I can move, I can breathe. And that's how I felt. That day the Lord had mercy on me, and that day the Lord delivered me of that thing. And my life changed. Just now I said that I'm going to pause something. What was I talking about? Who could remember? Okay, yes, thank you. So, this guy is sitting there and he's telling me about all the stuff that's happening. Because of what happened to me, I knew that demons are real. And I said to him, I know what the problem is. He says, oh, what's the problem? I said, you have demons in your house. He looked at me like, what? I said, yes. I said, but don't worry. God will help you to sort this out. And I made an appointment with him right there. I said, I'm coming to your house tonight. We're going to pray together and we're going to sort it out. Okay. He goes away very happy because now his problem is going to be sorted out. Somebody understands him. And the moment he leaves, the devil comes and says to me, who the hell do you think you are? You don't know what you're doing. Oh, tonight there's going to be big problems and you're going to be the one responsible for all the nonsense that's going to come here. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing. And I start getting stressed. Then I think to myself, oh, I've got some books at home. I lock up the shop. I go straight home. Now I'm sitting there. I've got 5 books all open at the same time. I'm trying to figure out what am I supposed to do. And the more I'm reading, the more I'm panicking because, oh, I'm not going to remember all of the stuff. I'm sitting there. I'm in the middle of my lounge. I've got all these books open, and I can't. I'm convinced that I can't do this. And I actually hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speak to me. He says to me, Rian, close the books. You don't need the books. I will help you. Go and pray for this man. I will help you. And you know what? This peace came over me. Whew. I closed the books. I phoned my wife. I say to her, listen, yeah, we're going out tonight. Oh, good. Where are we going? I say, no, there's these people that got demons. I'm going to go pray for them. What? Now she's not happy. I went to the house. I went into the house and I had a very strange sensation. I told them what I felt and I started praying with them. His wife went ballistic. I'd never cast out a demon out of anybody before. And there was nothing really that prepared me for it except my own experiences. But something helped me. That something was actually a someone. It was the Holy Spirit. And I don't know how many demons I cast out of his wife that night. And let me tell you something. I had no teaching. I had no training. I had no equipping other than the Holy Spirit. I'd never attended a course or anything. But somebody helped me. The Holy Spirit helped me. That woman got delivered that night. She had tried to commit suicide many times before. All that stuff that happened in the house changed. And you know how their lives changed. Within 6 months of me going to their house to pray for them, both husband and wife joined a youth ministry and became youth pastors in the church. God was showing me that through the equipping of the Holy Spirit, God could use you in ways that you never thought was possible. I started seeing people because of word of mouth. I would pray with this one and something would happen. I would pray with that one and something would happen. And you know what? When God does something for you, some people, not all, but some people are all excited and all happy and they talk to everybody else. And so before long, I had to get a diary and I had to start working off the diary because, you know, I have my own business. I had work to do during the day, so I saw people at night. You remember a couple of months before, I used to go out every night a week to some club. Now, I was praying for people every night of the week. Sometimes till 2 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes till 3 o'clock in the morning. And you know what?
I'm one of them.
And you are one of them. Yes, you are. As time passed, God began to teach me more and more and more. And you know, even there, God prepared me. About 6 months after my encounter with the Holy Spirit in the Dutch Reformed Church, I went to a big conference in Pretoria where people from overseas came to speak about the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit and the move of the Holy Spirit. And because I was interested, I went to this to go and listen. That day, there was about 8,000 people in the auditorium. They spoke on the anointing and some of the things they had experienced. And I was all excited because I was experiencing similar things in my own little lounge when I prayed for people. And then they said, if anybody wants to be prayed for, they can go forward. And, you know, I went forward. And a gentleman prayed for me. But just before he prayed for me, a guy walked up to me and he said, young man, there is a word that God put in my heart. Do you mind if I share it with you? I said, okay, share it with me. He said, the Lord says that he has called you to work for him full time. But the Lord says, do not go and study because the Holy Spirit is your teacher and he will teach you all you need to know. I heard this and it freaked me out a bit because I never thought of working for God full time. I just thought I would work and I would pray for people. And this put like a bit of a different spin on things. I received the word. The guy prayed for me. I felt something happened to me. I got up and I was trying to find my father who was also there. And after a while, because you must know there was 8,000 people in the auditorium, so it's difficult to find somebody. It took me a bit of time, but then I found my dad. He was talking to someone, and it turned out later to be the main pastor of the church we were attending. I walked up to him, and my dad introduced me to the guy, and when he took my hand to greet me, he looked me straight in the eye, and he said, "Young man, the Lord says, I must say to you, He's called you to work for Him full time. Do not go and study. The Holy Spirit is your teacher." The second time that day, God gave me the exact same word. And if you want to know how my life went, that has been my life up until now. Yes, I preach. People call me a pastor. Fair enough. I understand. But I'm not qualified in the eyes of some worldly institution. Nobody gave me a certificate. I have no degree. I have no problem with people that have the certificate or the degree. If God called you to work that way, fair enough. God bless you. But God called me a different way. You know what God did to me? He took me, He threw me in the deep end. And He said, "Swim, Yanni, swim, Yanni, swim." And I had no choice, because for a while there I was sinking big time, but then I had to start swimming. And you know what? I had to learn, but I had the best teacher in the world. Amen. The Holy Spirit. Amen. You do not know how many times in my life I've been in situations where nothing in this world can prepare you for it, but the Holy Spirit took me through it. By the grace of God, I have helped many, many people. And it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you know what? I could never point to myself and say, "I'm such a good person," or "I'm such a this," or "I'm such a that." I feel like I'm a bit like Peter, and I'm a bit like John, and I'm a bit like Luke. You know, God took me as a humble fisherman. Me, I was just some schmuck doing my job, trying to make a living. Nothing in my life ever pointed to the fact that one day God would use me this way. But when the anointing and the power of God came upon me, God brought something out of me that I never knew was there. And just like them, the Holy Spirit is the one that took me by the hand. He taught me what to do. He taught me how to do it. There's a lot of people that don't like what I do. I accept that. We're all different. But what I do because I was taught by someone. I was taught by the Holy Spirit. He took great care to work with me. And you know what? When I say that I spent many nights, I mean it. My son is there. He grew up with these things, and he can tell you how many nights I would spend going to people's homes, and I still do, to pray for this one and to pray for that one and to pray for that one. And every time I go somewhere, I learn a bit here and I learn a bit there and I learn a bit there. And that also influenced the way I read the Bible. Because you see, when you see things happen out there, a lot of things in the Bible suddenly comes into a brand new perspective, because you have access to something that somebody that has never seen it cannot, you cannot bring it out of the Word. That began to change the way I read the Word. Many times God would teach me something in the natural, and then He would show me in the Word where the Word confirms what I just saw. And when I share it with people that have no practical experience, they're like, "Oh, where did you get that from?" No, that is exactly how it works. God's Word is practical. I'm busy teaching you on the Holy Spirit, and I want to say to you that the only teacher that we have in the kingdom of God really is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can teach you things that you did not know. The Holy Spirit can do through you things that men say is impossible, but then it's not really you doing it, it's the Holy Spirit doing it through you. And I think what God wants us all to realize is that we need the Holy Spirit in our life. We need to be open to the Holy Spirit. And I want to warn you, when you open yourself to the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, you open yourself up to a supernatural life. It has to be. Because the Holy Spirit is the supernatural power of God to do signs and wonders and miracles. The Holy Spirit is the supernatural power of God to cast out demons. Some churches don't like that because apparently it's not good. Apparently it's, there's a word, it's chaos. You know, we need more of that type of chaos, I'm sorry. We need more situations where the Holy Spirit moves through a congregation and deals with people's problems and issues. Because men can't. You see, when God looks at her and God looks at you and God looks at you, He sees into you and He sees where the problems are. He sees where your life has deviated from your call, your purpose, and your destiny. He sees where disappointment and hurt and pain and suffering and torment, etc., etc., has changed you. And only God can change you back. And the only way for that to happen is through the Holy Spirit. Hypnosis will do nothing for you. Alcohol will do nothing for you. Let me tell you something. Alcohol numbs the pain while the alcohol is there. But while you are under the influence of alcohol, you cause more pain. It's a vicious cycle and it will never change. It's the same with drugs. There is no substitute for the Holy Spirit. If you have problems in your life, He knows how to fix them. And if you don't allow Him in your life, they cannot be fixed. You can pop your Valiums. You can hoy the Prozac. It's not going to do nothing to change what's wrong inside. It just numbs you, that's all. The Holy Spirit knows what to do. The Holy Spirit knows how to do it. One last thing that I want to share as part of my testimony. I never saw myself as a preacher. Because I have a more quiet personality. And many times in the past, I used to say, I'm not a preacher. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not. And you know what? You must also be careful what you say. Because sometimes we speak not from experience, but just for the sake of speaking. And we end up speaking idle words that the Bible says one day you will have to stand before God and give an account. And many times in my life, I have repented of the stuff that I've said. One day I had a dream. I came to a point in my life where I felt stuck. And I didn't understand why I felt stuck. I had this feeling that I'm stuck and I was frustrated and I didn't know why. And I prayed about it. I said, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but something is not right. Please speak to me. And then I have a dream. God speaks through dreams. The dream that I had was that I was sitting in a new car, brand new car. For those of you that understand cars a bit, it was a V8, which is nice. It's those ones that idle like, dun, 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 dun. You know, you can somehow hear this power here. I was sitting in this V8 and I was at the bottom of a long hill that goes up in the area where I grew up. And I remember how excited I was that I have this new car and I couldn't wait for this car to start moving because me, I'm a petrol head. Here are my interests in life. God first, my children. Okay, God and my ministry, my children and cars. Other than that, I have no real interest. So now I'm all happy because I'm sitting in this car and I can feel the power. And I'm putting the clutch and I'm putting it in gear and I'm preparing myself. I'm going to drop the clutch and I'm going to go. I'm going to feel this acceleration. And I do that. But when I put the petrol down, this car just misfires. It's like, and it doesn't do nothing. I'm thinking, oh, what's going on here? Okay, wait. I'm going to do it again. Take it out of gear, rev it a bit, it revs up, you know, it's nice. And put the clutch, put it in gear, drop the clutch, goes nowhere. I'm thinking, oh, what's wrong with this car? And you know how dreams are, they can change like that. Suddenly I'm sitting in my study, and I have a scale model of the exact same car. And I pick it up and I look at it and I'm like, oh, this is my car. And the roof can come off. And I take the roof off and I look inside. I say, and in the dream, I say, oh, that's the problem. The handbrake is on. So I put my finger between the two little seats and I drop the handbrake. And the moment I do that, I'm sitting in the big car and I feel the power. I drop the clutch. Vroom, there I go. I'm like, all smiles. When I got to the top of the hill, there was like a demonic thing that lay dead at the top. It was dressed in purple clothes, which tells me it was a principality. The color purple is the princely color, the kingly color. I woke up and I thought, oh, this dream must mean something. And I didn't understand the dream. And I prayed about it. I said, Lord, please speak to me. And I want to tell you something. Sometimes it takes you a while to interpret the dream. It's not always like that. And sometimes you don't have enough information at the time. It will come later and the dream will reveal itself to you. But for a couple of weeks, this dream kept coming back to me. And one day, out of the blue, I understood the dream. It's like the light bulb went on. The Lord was speaking to me about my life and about my future. The Lord was showing me that I have two ministries. One is a small one, one is a big one. I want the big one because I felt the power of the big one and I said, this is what I want. But the Lord was saying to me, the big one will never take off unless you release the small one and let it go. My small ministry was praying for people at my house, counseling them and seeing them and just going on with my life that way. My big one was to go into the church to work with the masses. My big one was to be an evangelist, was to be a preacher. The thing that I kept saying, I can never do this. And God was also showing me that there's a principality that will need to be conquered before this can start. And you know, when I understood it, I understood that I am also a problem. I have to stop saying the things I'm saying. I have to stop saying, I can't, I won't, I'm incapable of, because it's not my choice, it's God's choice. And I must come in line with God's purpose for my life. And I went on my knees and I prayed and I said to the Lord, Lord, I want to say sorry because I realize that I've done something wrong. I have used my mouth to cancel what you've called me to do. Because of my heart that was stuck on something small, the big things can't open for me. And then I had this thing that possibly that principality that I saw on the top of the mountain that had to be conquered had something to do with this, because I was very anti doing what I'm doing today. And it was true. When I rebuked that thing, I again felt that thing like my whole body went into a spasm. And it was like something released me. And you know what? In that week, amazing how God works. In that week, when I went on my knees and said sorry, asked God to forgive me and said to the Lord, Lord, there was a time when I said to you, you could do whatever you want with me. And I put a stop to that. I'm sorry. Again, if this is what you want for my life, I'll do it. I got a phone call from a church out of the blue. We've heard about you from so and so, this and that. We want to know, would you be willing to come and preach? Now you must understand something. The culture that I come from, you do not get invited to preach at the church unless you have the credentials. You must have the papers. I'll never forget when I told my dad that God's going to use me full time. He said to me, oh, but how's that going to work? The churches will never accept you because you haven't got the paperwork. And I said to my father, Dad, I don't care about that. The Bible says God will make a way, and that's his department. My department is to be ready. His department is to open the door. I'm going to wait on him and we'll see what will happen. And you know what? That day when that person phoned me and they spoke to me, I remembered all of these things. And I actually wanted to say no. But then that's like the Lord spoke to me and he said, this is from me. This is your future. And I said yes. And again, when I said yes and I put the phone down, I had a panic attack. I thought, oh my goodness, I don't know how to preach. I don't know how to prepare a sermon. I went into my study and I prayed. And God helped me. I went and I preached at that church. A lot of people got saved. You know, afterwards, probably 5 people came to me that day, my first sermon I ever preached. And they said to me, you know what? Today when you spoke to me, it felt like your words cut into me. The same feeling that I had when that evangelist came and spoke at our church. And I remembered that. And I remembered that I asked the Lord, give me what that man has got. A couple of weeks later, I get another phone call. It's from another church. Oh, we've heard of you from this and this and this. Would you mind coming to preach for us? I said, yes. This time it was an English church. Big problem for me because I'm Afrikaans. I didn't even own an English Bible. I made the mistake to go to the local bookshop and ask them for an English Bible. The guy said, there's 50 different ones. Which one you want? You know, in Afrikaans, we got 2. English, you got plenty. I said, what's the most popular one? He said, the NIV. I said, give me an NIV. Till today, I use the NIV. I went to that church. I was panicked because I don't speak the language all that well. I don't know the terminology. Today I have a problem because I don't know the Afrikaans anymore because I preach so much in English. Sometimes I trip myself up when I try and preach Afrikaans. But anyway, that doesn't matter. The fact is, I went to that church that night. Do you know, I was in such panic just before I had to go onto the stage. This church had a big stage that you had to preach from. I was in so much panic, I wanted to run away. I actually said to the Lord, Lord, I can't do this. You must come up with some excuse because I'm leaving now. I wanted to run away, but something told me to stay. And this is what happened. As I was walking up the stairs to the stage to preach, I felt something come upon me. That same feeling that I felt all those years ago, when I was lying on that floor and the power of God came over me and all my fear left, all my anxiety left. And you know, I opened my mouth that day and I don't even know where that stuff came from. I remember many times in the past, I would preach a sermon and I would think, geez, I don't know where that comes from because nobody taught me that. You know what? Many times I'm thinking to myself, I'm learning more talking here to you guys than what you are learning listening to me. But I felt this come over me and I spoke. And you know, I made an altar call that day and almost the whole church responded. I saw so many people and this was my first time. So I said to them, yeah, it's too many people. I don't think I can pray for all of you individually. So I'm going to stretch out my hand and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Oh my word. I had demons manifesting everywhere. The pastor looked at me. He said, oh, what the hell is this? I said, well, you know what? We can talk about that later. Go pray for that woman. He went. He prayed for her. I left that church 12 o'clock that night. Power of God kept moving in that place. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. Today, I can stand before you and I can preach a sermon and I can pray for you and many of you have been healed, yeah, and many of you have been delivered, yeah, but I want to tell you something. The first person that you have to thank for that is Jesus because he gave his life to open the door for you to get to that place. The second one that you have to thank is the Holy Spirit because he did the work. It's not me. I can't do nothing. It's God. Jesus is the healer. He still heals today, but he uses the power of the Holy Spirit. And we have to open ourselves up to allow him to work. We have to deal with our pride. We have to drop our attitude. We must come with humility before God and allow him to work. If we have to say sorry for something, man up and say sorry. I want to say something to that. Sometimes we have this thing, oh, but I don't say sorry. You know, even to God, sometimes we must say sorry. That word sorry can sometimes change things. I had to say sorry to God because my attitude had I didn't realize it, but when God revealed it to me, I had to say sorry because I was wrong. And probably some of you here have to go on your knees and say sorry because you were wrong. My life changed when I said sorry. A new door opened for me when I said sorry. And I said, Lord, I don't want to resist you anymore. I actually want to go with you. Where's my life going? Only God knows. But I want to tell you something. As long as the Holy Ghost steers my ship, I'm going to get to where God wants me to go. Amen. 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 Well, bless God. They say that you will conquer Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. So I trust God that today maybe some of you will have victory through my testimony. Amen. 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 All right, ladies, can you help us please with the offering?